and nothingness, subject yourself to man for the sake of God, when I, the All-Powerful, the Most High, who created all things out of nothing, humbly subjected myself to man for your sake, I became the most humble and the lowest of all men that you might overcome your pride with my humility. Learn to obey, you who are but dust. Learn to humble yourself, you who are but earth and clay, and bow down under the foot of every man. Learn to break your own will, to submit to all subjection. Be zealous against yourself. Allow no pride to dwell in you, but prove yourself so humble and lowly that all may walk over you and trample upon you as dust in the streets. What have you, vain man, to complain of? What answer can you make, vile sinner, to those who accuse you, you who have so often offended God and so many times deserved hell? But my eye has spared you because your soul was precious in my sight, so that you might know my love and always be thankful for my benefits, so that you might give yourself continually to true subjection and humility, and might patiently endure contempt. The 14th chapter. Consider the hidden judgments of God, lest you become proud of your own good deeds. The disciple. You thunder forth your judgments over me, Lord. You shake all my bones with fear and trembling, and my soul is very much afraid. I stand in awe as I consider that the heavens are not pure in your sight. If you found wickedness in the angels and did not spare them, what will become of me? Stars have fallen from heaven, and I who am but dust, how can I be presumptuous? They whose deeds seemed worthy of praise have fallen into the depths, and I have seen those who ate the bread of angels delighting themselves with the husks of swine. There is no holiness, then, if you withdraw your hand, Lord. There is no wisdom if you cease to guide, no courage if you cease to defend. No chastity is secure if you do not guard it. Our vigilance avails nothing if your holy watchfulness does not protect us. Left to ourselves, we sink and perish, but visited by you, we are lifted up and live. We are truly unstable, but you make us strong. We grow lukewarm, but you inflame us. Oh, how humbly and lowly should I consider myself! How very little should I esteem anything that seems good in me! How profoundly should I submit to your unfathomable judgments, Lord, where I find myself to be but nothing. O immeasurable weight, O impassable sea, where I find myself to be nothing but bare nothingness, where then is glory's hiding place? Where can there be any trust in my own virtue? All vainglory is swallowed up in the depths of your judgments upon me. What is all flesh in your sight? Shall the clay glory against him that formed it? How can he whose heart is truly subject to God be lifted up by vainglory? The whole world will not make him proud whom truth has subjected to itself. Nor shall he who has placed all his hope in God be moved by the tongues of flatterers. For behold, even they who speak are nothing. They will pass away with the sound of their words, but the truth of the Lord remains forever. The 15th chapter. How one should feel and speak on every desirable thing. The voice of Christ. My child, this is the way you must speak on every occasion. Lord, if it be pleasing to you, so be it. If it be to your honor, Lord, be it done in your name. Lord, if you see that it is expedient and profitable for me, then grant that I may use it to your honor. But if you know that it will be harmful to me and of no good benefit to the welfare of my soul, then take this desire away from me. Not every desire is from the Holy Spirit, even though it may seem right and good. It is difficult to be certain whether it is a good spirit or a bad one that prompts one to this or that, and even to know whether you are being moved by your own spirit. Many who seemed at first to be led by a good spirit have been deceived in the end. Whatever the mind sees as good, ask and desire in fear of God and humility of heart. Above all, commit the whole matter to me with true resignation and say, Lord, You know what is better for me. Let this be done or that be done as you please. Grant what you will, as much as you will, when you will. Do with me as you know best, as will most please you, and will be for your greater honor. Place me where you will and deal with me freely in all things. I am in your hand. Turn me about whichever way you will. Behold, I am your servant, ready to obey in all things. Not for myself do I desire to live, but for you. Would that I could do this worthily and perfectly. A prayer that the will of God be done. Grant me your grace, O most merciful Jesus, that it may be with me and work with me and remain with me to the very end. Grant that I may always desire and will that which is most acceptable and pleasing to you. Let your will be mine. Let my will always follow yours and agree perfectly with it. Let my will be one with yours in willing and in not willing. And let me be unable to will or not will anything, what you will or do not will. Grant that I may die to all things in this world and for your sake, love to be despised and unknown in this life. Give me above all desires the desire to rest in you, and in you let my heart have peace. You are true peace of heart. You alone are its rest. Without you all things are difficult and troubled. In this peace, the self-same that is in you, the Most High, the everlasting good, I will sleep and take my rest. Amen. The 16th chapter. True comfort is to be sought in God alone. The disciple. Whatever I can desire or imagine for my own comfort, I look for not here but hereafter. For if I alone should have all the world's comforts and could enjoy all its delights, it is certain that they could not long endure. Therefore, my soul, you cannot enjoy full consolation or perfect delight except in God, the consoler of the poor and the helper of the humble. Wait a little, my soul, wait for the divine promise, and you will have an abundance of all good things in heaven. If you desire these present things too much, you will lose those which are everlasting and heavenly. Use temporal things, but desire eternal things. You cannot be satisfied with any temporal goods because you were not created to enjoy them. Even if you possessed all created things, you could not be happy and blessed. For in God, who created all these things, your whole blessedness and happiness consists. Not indeed such happiness as is seen and praised by lovers of the world, but such as that for which the good and faithful servants of Christ wait, and of which the spiritual and pure of heart, whose conversation is in heaven, sometime have a foretaste. Vain and brief is all human consolation, but that which is received inwardly from the truth is blessed and true. The devout man carries his consoler, Jesus, everywhere with him, and he says to him, "Be with me, Lord Jesus, in every place and at all times. Let this be my consolation, to be willing to forego all human comforting. And if your consolation be wanting to me, let your will and just trial of me be my greatest comfort, for you will not always be angry, nor will you threaten forever." The 17th chapter. All our care is to be placed in God, the voice of Christ. My child, allow me to do what I will with you. I know what is best for you. You think as a man. You feel in many things as human affection persuades. The disciple. Lord, what you say is true. Your care for me is greater than all the care I can take of myself. For he who does not cast all his care upon you stands very unsafely. If only my will remain right and firm toward you, Lord, do with me whatever pleases you, for whatever you shall do with me can only be good. If you wish me to be in darkness, I shall bless you, and if you wish me to be in light, again I shall bless you. If you stoop down to comfort me, I shall bless you, and if you wish me to be afflicted, I shall bless you forever. The voice of Christ. My child, This is the disposition which you should have if you wish to walk with me. You should be as ready to suffer as to enjoy. You should as willingly be destitute and poor as rich and satisfied. The disciple, O Lord, I shall suffer willingly for your sake whatever you wish to send me. I am ready to accept from your hand both good and evil alike, the sweet and the bitter together, sorrow with joy, and for all that happens to me I am grateful. Keep me from all sin, and I will fear neither death nor hell. Do not cast me out forever, nor blot me out of the book of life, and whatever tribulation befalls will not harm me. The 18th chapter. Temporal suffering should be borne patiently after the example of Christ. The voice of Christ. My child, I came down from heaven for your salvation and took upon myself your miseries, not out of necessity but out of love, that you might learn to be patient and bear the sufferings of this life without repining. From the moment of my birth to my death on the cross, suffering did not leave me. I suffered great want of temporal goods. Often I heard many complaints against me. Disgrace and reviling I bore with patience. For my blessings I received ingratitude, for my miracles blasphemies, and for my teaching scorn. The disciple, O Lord, because you were patient in life, especially in fulfilling the design of the Father, it is fitting that I, a most miserable sinner, should live patiently according to your will. And as long as you shall wish, bear the burden of this corruptible body for the welfare of my soul. For though this present life seems burdensome, yet by your grace it becomes meritorious, and it is made brighter and more endurable for the weak by your example in the pathways of the saints. But it has also more consolation than formerly under the old law when the gates of heaven were closed, when the way thereto seemed darker than now, and when so few cared to seek the eternal kingdom. The just, the elect, could not enter heaven before your sufferings, and sacred death had paid the debt. Oh, what great thanks I owe you, who have shown me and all the faithful the good and right way to your everlasting kingdom. Your life is our way, and in your holy patience we come nearer to you, who are our crown. Had you not gone before and taught us, who would have cared to follow? Alas, how many would have remained far behind, had they not before their eyes your holy example? Behold, even we who have heard of your many miracles and teachings are still lukewarm. What would happen if we did not have such light by which to follow you? The 19th chapter. True patience in suffering. The voice of Christ. What are you saying, my child? Think of my suffering and that of the saints, and cease complaining. You have not yet resisted to the shedding of blood. What you suffer is very little compared with the great things they suffered, who were so strongly tempted, so severely troubled, so tried and tormented in many ways. Well may you remember, therefore, the very painful woes of others, that you may bear your own little ones the more easily. And if they do not seem so small to you, examine if perhaps your impatience is not the cause of their apparent greatness. And whether they are great or small, try to bear them all patiently. The better you dispose yourself to suffer, the more wisely you act, and the greater is the reward promised you. Thus you will suffer more easily if your mind and habits are diligently trained to it. Do not say, I cannot bear this from such a man, nor should I suffer things of this kind, for he has done me a great wrong. He has accused me of many things of which I never thought. However, from someone else I will gladly suffer as much as I think I should. Such a thought is foolish, for it does not consider the virtue of patience, or the one who will reward it, but rather weighs the person and the offense committed. The man who will suffer only as much as seems good to him, who will accept suffering only from those from whom he is pleased to accept it, is not truly patient. For the truly patient man does not consider from whom the suffering comes, whether from a superior, an equal, or an inferior, whether from a good and holy person or from a perverse and unworthy one. But no matter how great an adversity befalls him, no matter how often it comes or from whom it comes, he accepts it gratefully from the hand of God and counts it a great gain. For with God, nothing that is suffered for his sake, no matter how small, can pass without reward. Be prepared for the fight, then, if you wish to gain the victory. Without struggle, you cannot obtain the crown of patience, and if you refuse to suffer, you are refusing the crown. But if you desire to be crowned, fight bravely and bear up patiently. Without labor, there is no rest, and without fighting, no victory. The Disciple. O Lord, let that which seems naturally impossible to me become possible through your grace. You know that I can suffer very little and that I am quickly discouraged when any small adversity arises. Let the torment of tribulation suffered for your name be pleasant and desirable to me, since to suffer and be troubled for your sake is very beneficial for my soul. The 20th chapter. Confessing our weakness in the miseries of life. The Disciple. I will bring witness against myself to my injustice, and to you, O Lord, I will confess my weakness. Often it is a small thing that makes me downcast and sad. I propose to act bravely, but when even a small temptation comes, I find myself in great straits. Sometimes it is the merest trifle which gives rise to grievous temptations. When I think myself somewhat safe, and when I am not expecting it, I frequently find myself almost overcome by a slight wind. Look, therefore, Lord, at my lowliness and frailty, which you know so well. Have mercy on me, and snatch me out of the mire, that I may not be caught in it, and may not remain forever utterly despondent. That I am so prone to fall, and so weak in resisting my passions, oppresses me frequently, and confounds me in your sight. While I do not fully consent to them, still their assault is very troublesome and grievous to me, and it worries me exceedingly thus to live in daily strife. Yet from the fact that abominable fancies rush in upon me much more easily than they leave, my weakness becomes clear to me. Oh, that you, most mighty God of Israel, zealous lover of faithful souls, would consider the labor and sorrow of your servant, and assist him in all his undertakings. Strengthen me with heavenly courage, lest the outer man, the miserable flesh, against which I shall be obliged to fight so long as I draw a breath in this wretched life, and which is not yet subjected to the Spirit, prevail and dominate me. Alas, what sort of life is this, from which troubles and miseries are never absent, where all things are full of snares and enemies. For when one trouble or temptation leaves, another comes. Indeed, even while the first conflict is still raging, many others begin unexpectedly. How is it possible to love a life that has such great bitterness, that is subject to so many calamities and miseries? Indeed, how can it even be called life when it begets so many deaths and plagues? And yet it is loved, and many seek their delight in it. Many persons often blame the world for being false and vain, yet do not readily give it up because the desires of the flesh have such great power. Some things draw them to love the world, others make them despise it. The lust of the flesh, the desire of the eyes, and the pride of life lead to love, while the pain and miseries, which are the just consequences of those things, beget hatred and weariness of the world. Vicious pleasure overcomes the soul that is given to the world. She thinks that there are delights beneath those thorns because she has never seen or tasted the sweetness of God or the internal delight of virtue. They, on the other hand, who entirely despise the world and seek to live for God under the rule of holy discipline, are not ignorant of the divine sweetness promised to those who truly renounce the world. They see clearly how